I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the text of Ephesians chapter 3 this evening. We're going to look at a text here and dive into a series that I started many weeks ago, but we have again put that on a little bit of a hiatus because of the holiday season, and we wanted to continue it after everybody had gathered again. And so we're looking at why attend church. And so it's been a while. Some of you may still have your notes. If you don't, sorry, but points will be taken off if you have lost those, and you won't be able to study for the final exam. No, I'm just kidding. But it's nice to be able to go to some place where you don't have to worry about taking the test. And I know all of the students will say amen. Okay, yes. We are looking at why attend church, and it has become increasingly concerning that there is a drop off in the not only the attendance of churches throughout the United States, and that is a continuing trend depending on the demographics that are surveyed and so forth, but it seems to be pretty consistent that there is some of that no matter what stage or demographic one would be in. And not only that, the significance of this is also that we have to have the mindset of why is church important. Let me go back and give you some of the things that we have covered. And I want to begin by telling you what the objectives are in taking our time going through this. Number one, it is to remind believers of the biblical reason for assembling ourselves together. Is there a biblical mandate for what we do here as a church? It cannot be, or your attendance should not be based upon just because mom and dad says it's a good thing. Now, of course, while you're under their authority and in their home and whatnot, we know that it's good to obey what they say and so forth. But there's going to come a day, as it has for all of us, that you're not going to be under that direct authority at some point in time. And I'm speaking to some here that you need to have in your mind the fact that church is an important thing. That it's a divinely created institution. That it's not something, again, that has been put together by the whims of man. It's not something that they have just thrown together and say, this is a good thing to do. We know that it is established by God. And He has told us, He has commanded us, and our verse, as you know, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much more as ye see the day approaching. And the idea there is that it is important that we have this in our minds and in our hearts as the Lord hastens His coming. And my friends, it's a lot closer now than it was when the author wrote that verse. And so we need to understand how significant it is. And so the second objective is this. It is to exhort believers to continue assembling so that they may fulfill God's commands. And again, I know what some may say, well, Pastor, you're speaking to the Sunday night crowd. I realize that. And the faithful ones that are here are usually going to be those who are in attendance on Sunday evenings. And trust me, I appreciate your faithfulness. But it is to you that I say, keep on keeping on. It is to you that I encourage you. Again, understand these things, why we do what we do, and have the attitude that we're going to keep on obeying the commands of God's Word. Number three, the objective is to admonish believers towards good works within their specific local church, and that would be us. We are called, God's established it, and it is to, again, to encourage us to do those things that God has commanded us, to show the love towards one another that we should. If we are honest with ourselves, there is still much that we have to learn, do we not, about admonishing, encouraging one another in the faith. Again, it's not a destination to which we reach, and we do not have to worry about it anymore. We are called, listen, we are called as disciples of Christ to lifetime service for others as we are part of this body. We may not have the same exact ministry, and we talk about that this morning. It does not look the same for everyone. But everyone who is a part of the body is called to do something within that body. And we have those passages, of course, in Romans and in other places. And so here is what we have looked at thus far. Here's been our main points that we have spent quite a lot of time looking in detail at these things because, again, I think that these are vital for you and I to keep them in mind. And again, I'm thinking in particular of our young adults in here that are going out into a world where, again, church and all of the things that have to do with it are really not that important. If you look around our world today, especially folks, you will notice something, and that is Sunday in our nation has become just like every other day. Now, I'm old enough to remember, and some of you may be as well, there used to be a thing in the South called the Blue Laws. Anybody remember that? And the Blue Laws, and some of you are too young to remember what they were, is that everything, all the businesses were closed on Sunday. You couldn't find a thing that was open. I mean, now, of course, restaurants were open because they knew the Baptists needed to go there. So the restaurants were probably have always been open. But many, many other things were always closed. It was shut down. And it was the concept and the idea of many back in the day that even if we don't believe in what they believe, we have enough respect for this concept of the Lord's Day that we're going to shut our business down for the day because it's the Lord's Day. No longer is that true. And the consumerism has replaced the respect for Christianity and God's Word and who He is. It's become another day. And it's become another day for many believers as well. And if we, again, are honest with ourselves, we begin to become involved in some of those things. But here's what we've covered. First of all, why attend church? Number one, it reminds us of God's plan of redemption. And in that section, what we attempted to do was to go back into the Old Testament and trace that concept through the Old Testament. There was a plan of redemption from the very beginning. And we find that in the first prophecy in Scripture in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It is often referred to in the theological terms of the proto-evangelium, the first gospel message or witness is what that means. And he was going to do what? He would bruise the heel of Satan. Let's look back at it. Let's look at it a minute, because I think it's important to point out. Probably many of you, again, had to memorize this verse for Bible doctrines class or another class, and maybe not realizing how significant this is. But right after the sin of man in the Garden of Eden, God reveals here very early on His plan of redemption in this verse. And notice what He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And ultimately, that last phrase is very significant. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The ultimate conquering of Satan was going to be a final, or will be a final, crushing blow to the head of Satan. And a blow to the head is a lot more significant than a bruise to the heel. And so that is kind of the picture there. Hebrew is a very pictorial language. The heel is the furthest point away from the head, which is significant. You can't live without the head. You can live with an injured, bruised heel. But you can't live with a crushed head. And so there's the concept of that verse, which again is prophesying what God is going to do in having the ultimate victory. Well, we can trace that all through the Old Testament. The prophets and all of that. Well, let's go one step further than that. The law and the prophets, all of them had a singular message in one sense. Now, I know that they prophesied to different nations, and God gave them, again, individual ministries. We looked at that this morning. However, we see something that is very, very important in the Scripture, and that is that what we call the scarlet thread of redemption. And there's a theme that they all go back to, and that is that man is a sinner, and he is in need of a redeemer. And that redeemer would be revealed as the Lord Jesus Christ. Messiah is what they would refer to him in the Old Testament. So we looked at that. Number two, we looked at the fact that why attend church? Because it is commemorative, or it is a commemoration of Christ's redemptive work. So now we focus on the New Testament aspect of that. Believers are not under the Mosaic law any longer because of grace, because of the grace of God and all of those things. So we are not in bondage to that system. There's an emphasis on Christ's victory over death. And so listen to me. We need to understand something. That every time we meet together, listen, it is a celebration. It's a celebration of life and joy and happiness, and you would never know it tonight. Okay. Are you sleepy? Listen, we have all things for which to be thankful, do we not? As believers, we're on our way to heaven. The devil can't take it away. The next thing that is on the calendar for believers is what? Christ coming again, and we going to heaven to be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, that's our future. Are you happy about it? Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Folks, listen. Every Sunday is a celebration of Christ's victory on the cross. We should be joyful. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what's going on in my life and everything I've got going. And I know we're supposed to, but man, it's hard. I know. I know that. The Lord knows that. But deep within the recesses of our soul, listen, here's the thing, is that even with the trials of life and we feel like that we're treading water, you ever feel like that in your spiritual life? When you come to church, listen, you can understand that, hey, I can have the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you believe that? With all that around you maybe seems like it's giving way, and all the turmoil and all of the testings that come your way, the believer, the child of God, has something that the world and those who know Him not can never understand, and that's the peace that passes all understanding. Do you have that? Yes, you do as a child of God. So we emphasized that. Here's the third area that we talk about. Why attend church? Because it expresses, it's a place where we can express our love for God. It expresses our love for God. That's why we do the things that we do. We sing the songs of praise to the Lord. We sing the magnificent hymns of faith that never grow old, the words and the songs, and we sing those. Why? Because again, it's a celebration of what our Lord has done for us. How can we not do that? Remember what we said this morning in the song that we referenced? It says, all to Him I what? Owe. Do we owe Christ our praise? Yes. Yes, we do. And so therefore we come, and this is a wonderful place in which to express our love for the Lord. And think about it this way. Well, here's what some may say, and I've heard this over the years. And if you've ever been on church visitation, you will hear something like this. Well, Pastor, or well, whoever, I can praise God just as much at home as I can if I go to church. Well, not really. Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to put a caveat in here one more time. I understand that there are those that come to a point in life and physically they may not be able to get out and go to church like they once could go before they had maybe physical problems or age, perhaps. Those things happen, and the Lord knows that. But oftentimes, those occasions, the illustration I just gave you, are people that are completely healthy. And the fact is, here's the bottom line, they just don't want to go. Okay. Now, something that you'll find down here in the South, and I can speak because I'm a Southerner. Okay. I love Southerners, don't you? Because here's what they'll do. Yeah, Pastor, I will be there. You can count on me. And they know when they're saying it, they're not coming. Southern hospitality is basically this. I'm going to lie through my teeth to make you feel better. That's Southern hospitality. And they know they're not coming. But they'll tell it to you anyway. And then you ask them, well, what church do you belong to? Well, I don't know. It's down the road a few miles. And my family's been members there for 50 years, but I can't remember the name. I don't even know the pastor. Or I do like, again, as a Southerner, I like Yankees in the way they approach it. I'm not coming. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you back at my house. Okay. At least you know where you stand. Right? Right? Now, I think the best is somewhere in between the two, obviously. But listen, we need to understand that assembling ourselves again is not an option or a request from the writer of Hebrews. It's a command. It's a command by God. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, young person, let me ask you something. When you get out from under the watchful eye and care of your parents and maybe over at the university where you're required to do all kinds of things, what are you going to do? How important is church to you? We have some folks that have been attending this church, and they actually are on vacation right now. But they were here many, many years before I came. And they have been driving from up in the northern part of Greenville County, up in Marietta area, for over 30 years. They've been driving to Colonial Hills. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And here's what I worry about, is I get concerned because I don't see that passion often. Don't get mad with me, young people, I love you. But I don't often see that kind of intense passion among the young ones. That concerns me. And something that concerns pastors is what is going to happen when the gray hairs pass off the scene if the Lord tarries? What is going to be the state of the church when that happens? I think we're in big trouble unless some of you begin to rally and have a passion for what God's given us. Listen, church is a privilege. It's a privilege. And sometimes we have the attitude that we come to church, hey, you better be glad I'm here. No. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to go into an assembly of God and to mingle and fellowship with people. You know what it is? And I've often said it. As we come here, we fellowship together. We sing songs of praise. We eat together. You know what it is? It's a little glimpse of glory divine. We're going to be doing that in heaven. And he gives us a little glimpse of it down here. And yet there are those that say, I don't need it. I don't care what you say. I could be doing other things. Well, that's true. But how important is this for us while we're here and the opportunities that God gives us? And when we express our love for God, what does it do? When we're walking and we're in fellowship with Him, when He sees how, or when others see how we are walking with the Lord, that in turn encourages others to do the same. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, that is not just for the outside world. That's for those also within the household of God. To see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's look at the fourth one tonight. Why attend church? Because it builds It builds our spiritual strength. It builds our spiritual strength. Let's look at some verses here in Ephesians, as I mentioned to you. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's start in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Some interesting verses as Paul writes to this church. He says, "Unto me who am less than the least of the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." And so it is through and by the church, it is in the church, it is in these called out assemblies where these things that Paul is speaking of is learned. Now again, we can worship and we can learn, as you well know, outside the confines of the Sunday assembly or the Wednesday night assembly. That's certainly possible. But God calls us to come into whatever the local church has deemed the time to come and to meet. This partly the reason, again, for us to come into this environment, into this place, is to continue to enhance or to build our spiritual strength. It does not make us spiritual, but what it does is, again, it enhances and continues to build who we are in Christ. Now, again, if you have done any sort of visitation, you will also hear them say this. You will also, people will say something like, "Well, I know, I just need to get back into church." And I there's the answer, just getting back in church. Well, we obviously are coming and we're visiting because we want them to be in church. But here's the thing, when you hear people say that, oftentimes their idea is this, is that just by coming and attending, things will be right once again. Listen, it's more than that. Okay? You can come, and as my pastor used to say over and over again, he said, you can come and sit and soak and sour, and it doesn't mean anything. And that's what we have. We have those who sit and soak and sour. Listen, just attending is not the answer. It is where I come and I am consciously worshiping and I am saying within my heart and mind, "Lord, what is it that you have for me and how can I best serve you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Lord, where can I use the talents and the gifts that you have endowed me with by and through the Holy Spirit of God?" If we're not doing that, then we're not building our spiritual strength, or we're not in the process of allowing, I should say, the Holy Spirit to do that. So, again, what is the benefit for the believer as we come into, again, church? As we said at the very outset of this series, again, there are those that are saying in writing that the what we would refer to as this, the institutional church, as it's called, is not necessary, and we do not need it. We can, again, worship God in our own way. And my friends, listen, that kind of thinking and that kind of writing is legion among us in our day. Well, again, I don't think that they have really thoroughly studied out the Scripture if there's that attitude and they've made that kind of statement. It's simply not the case. But what's the benefit of the believer? Again, I'm not telling you anything that you do not know, but it's good to be reminded of it. First of all, it's receiving the preaching and teaching of the Word. It's receiving the preaching and the teaching of the Word. And through that, God increases our faith and He builds us in the faith. Listen, we may, toward the end of this, talk about some of the criteria or what makes up a good church. Here's number one. Are you ready? The number one, bar none, criteria is this. does it preach the Word? Does it preach the Word? I'm afraid that, again, in our day and age of consumerism, we live with those, and there's an article that I found years ago, and it's still appropriate. In fact, it was written by the guy who used to be the president of Friends for Israel, Elwood McQuaid. He called it salad bar sanctuaries. And he talked about this idea of the consumerism within trying to choose a church. And we'll take that, and I'll take a little cheese and cucumber here, and I'll take this over here. And so we have all of this criteria except for the most important thing. And the most important thing we miss out on is, does that church preach the Word? Does it preach the Word? Now, young person, let me just say this to you. Some of you are going to eventually be going out, and God may take you to different places within the United States. He may place you in some places where finding a church that preaches the Word of God on a consistent, regular basis and preaches it faithfully is going to be hard to find. And maybe there's going to be, I don't know, but I know enough to know that around our country, you need to understand this, that the average church is 80 or less. And I think the statistics are something like 80% of the churches in the United States are 80 people or less. There's where we are. Okay, so we, with our small number, are actually above average in the United States. But look, maybe God's going to call you to a place and there's going to be a small church and they don't have all of the bells and the whistles and the programs and productions. But perhaps there is a man there who preaches the Word. Can I encourage you to do this? You go, use those talents in that church and be faithful. Be faithful. And support that pastor. And get in there and use the talents that God's given you. Do you realize, and some of you do, do you realize that there are some churches around this country that would give their eye teeth to have the pianists that we have in this church? The number of people that in this church that play and play well, I'm astounded. And some of you surprise me because there's still some I don't know who can get on the piano bench and are like, who? I didn't know they played. It's amazing. It's incredible. And I'm going to brag about our choir. I think we have the above average choir for our size church. Anywhere. Okay? Anywhere. That is not bragging. That's just the state of things within our nation. And I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of research in this area. What we have here is unique. And so you're not going to maybe find that way out on the plains of Nebraska somewhere. But there may be a church that's looking for someone who can be faithful. Well, Pastor Gray, I don't have all the talents and I can't sing. I don't have music abilities. Yes, but God has given you a spiritual gift that you can use somehow. And you know what you need to do? Use it. You need to use it. My dad and my mom said over and over again to my sister and myself, if you don't use the talents and gifts that God has given you, they'll dry up. And that's why I'm still up here messing up all the notes on my trumpet. Okay. And, you know, it used to bother me when I was young when I would miss a note. Now, you know, that's okay. All right. And I don't know how long I'll be able to do that. It gets harder the older you get. But you know what? The reason I still do it is because I enjoy it. And I want to use everything I can for the Lord while I can. What about you? Can I just say this, too? If you're not using the talents that God's giving you right now, you're not going to use them later. And again, students, can I encourage you to get involved where you can and how you can, even here, while you're here? This should be a working laboratory, in essence, of what is going to become or what you will become later on. And if you don't do it now, you will not do it later. But this is a place to build our spiritual strength. And the wrong way to think is that, well, I really don't need it. The danger becomes this, and I'm speaking to many who would be in this scenario. You were born and raised in a Christian home, you went to Christian school all your life, and now you're in Christian college. And there becomes the thinking, or it can pervade our thoughts, and it's very easy to do. And I know Mark probably thinks, just like I do, being growing up in all of this, it's very easy to become jaded towards it if you're not careful. And you're around it so much, you've heard the Bible so much, you've been to so many Bible conferences, and you've heard all the Bible classes, and you can get to the point where you say, I really don't need it. Yeah, you do. Yeah, we do. And you're going to, listen, my friends, you're going to need the Scripture. What does this prophet say? He says, line upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, hearing it again and again and again for the rest of your life. Until the time you draw your last breath. We need God's Word. We need to be fed spiritually. Baptists love to eat, and that's not a bad thing. Again, we enjoy that here, don't we? We're pretty good at it. But how many of us would say, well, I've had my meal on Sunday. I think I'll wait till next Sunday. I'm not going to eat anything for the rest of the week. Now, I know that that's probably very far-fetched for most of us. But you know what's interesting is that we will do that spiritually. I've heard church, been in church, I don't really need anything else, or I don't have time. Isn't it interesting? The physical feeding, we don't even give it a thought. We feed ourselves. The spiritual, well, if I have time, if I can fit it in, and maybe we're starving, maybe we're anemic because of that. Christians, again, as I said, need constant reminders of God's commands as well as His promises. One of the encouraging things, again, is to come and hear the fact that God, Jesus, is coming again. And He's going to take His church home to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And all of the wonderful promises that we have of heaven. We hear about that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is a crucial verse for you and I. And you again know this verse. It says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Two important elements there. Hearing by the Word of God. You cannot grow if you're not hearing. Your strength will not increase if you're not hearing the Word of God. Can't happen. Well, again, Pastor, I can do that. I can sit there and I can listen to all those sermons on sermon audio. There's thousands of them. Yeah, you can do that. And that's not a bad thing to do during the week. But that doesn't neglect or eradicate the fact that, you know what, He's called us again to come and assemble ourselves together and to hear the Word of God. And in turn, that may help us to be able to encourage or help a fellow brother and sister in Christ. You can't do that in blissful isolation, as some attempt. And that's a sad thing. It is important for the believer also as we come to build our spiritual strength because every Christian is involved in spiritual warfare. Whether we know it or not, or whether we think we are or not, it is ongoing. It's ongoing. And last year, during the spring, I think it was, we did a whole series on Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the being armed and all of the equipment that we need to have in order to fight this warfare. Well, Pastor, I don't want to fight. Well, nobody does. But whether we like it or not, we as God's children have been enlisted in His army, and there are times where we had better be ready. Why? Well, even Peter understood this concept. He says, you had better understand that the devil is walking about like a roaring lion. He wants to tear you apart. He's going to shoot the fiery darts at you. Are you equipped for that? I think coming and learning under the teaching of God's Word is that which equips us. And I don't think we can ever get enough of it. And yet we attempt and we try. You are involved in a warfare. And I believe that when you come here, you are in the process of the continual arming of your spiritual heart and life against the attacks of Satan. And he's going to do that. He is going to attack. One of the things that he uses, again, is discouragement to attack believers and pastors and others. He's going to use things that come into our life that are the unexpected things that we never thought. Years ago, I preached a message. I don't know why I was thinking about it today. And I borrowed the title of Dickens, and I think I called it Great Expectations. And the whole premise of the message was that we set out in our life, we have a lot of expectations of what life is going to be. And the reality is, and some of you have lived long enough to know this, is that sometimes those expectations are dashed or they're not met. And then what do we do? I think there are those who get so discouraged. And they say, why bother? And so they quit church. They quit God because their expectations haven't been met. Again, what do we learn when we come to church? We learn that, look, it's not about our expectations. It's about who we are and what we are before the Lord. It's about meeting His expectations, not just mine. It's okay to have goals, but what did we learn this morning? We learned this, that my goals, my will, must be subject and submissive to His. And so, when those things come along, and the expectations of life sometimes go awry, and they may, who do you have to turn to? My friends, listen, there's no better place than to turn to God and His Word. When that happens, to be in the place of fellow believers who can help and they can counsel and they can encourage. So coming here is more than just, well, it's a good thing to do. There's far more to it than that. We're going to continue here. We have a few more sections to look at in this series. I hope that you'll think and ponder these things, that you'll do this. Listen, let's think and meditate this week, as I said earlier, on the gift and the privilege that God has given us to be able to go to a place and worship and fellowship and sing His praises. And all of the extra added benefits that He gives us. Folks, it's a wonderful thing. I want to say this, as especially to our young people, as much as you have seen and heard over the years of the negatives about the church, and there have been a lot, because you know why? Because imperfect people make up the church. Sinners make up the church. So there's going to be difficulties, but I want to say this, that church is a good thing. It's a good thing. And don't forget that. It's divinely created by God, and you need to be a part of it.